You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jackson, is this hard rock, heavy metal? What is this?
This is your sweet spot.
You broke from
late, I know, 90s, maybe early 90s.
Okay, so you broke free from your genre and your trends earlier. I see what you did. Yeah. A little self-scouting, and you wanted to break your trends. Get out
you
of
got
here.
That, right?
Well done. It is 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. It's been a spirited show, holiday spirit. We gave away a Drake May autograph football. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Especially
it's a hell of a gift.
This time of year, because you can either keep it, or you could be the really cool uncle or whatever, rewrap it and give like some kid a Drake May autograph football for Christmas.
My God, imagine opening that up now.
Like, if
especially
you're a kid,
in
yeah.
3 weeks when you're the AFC East winner and the presumptive number one seed and you're unwrapping a Drake May ball, future Hall of Famer, which I saw you had to clarify on the text line that you
yes.
do believe that.
Yeah.
Drake May ball, that's unbelievable.
That is pretty, and especially at a time where if you are an uncle or an aunt or a grandfather or father, and you're looking for Drake May jerseys, they are not easy to find.
Tough to find.
Especially since Fanatics took over the whole world, so once it's not available at Fanatics, it's not available anywhere else either. Yeah, unless you're like 400 pounds, Drake May jerseys are basically impossible
Drake
to
May,
find.
Everything Drake May is, like, the market for that. Talk about something that if you just wanted to sort of like speculate and do right by yourself. All of his merch, the jerseys, autograph balls, Drake May trading cards. Like, I got my oldest boy when the Patriots drafted him a year and a half ago, like a Bowman chrome thing. It had a picture of him in a Drake UNC jersey. I spent $30 on eBay. It's worth over $150 now.
Oh, yeah. It's gone through the roof.
It has quintupled in its value because it's just like you're just speculating on who's going to do well. And because his rise has been so meteoric, like, that'll make a kid's Christmas like that.
And Fitzy, we've gone for years on the Six Rings pod talking about sort of the jersey buying idea.
Yep.
If you had asked me after week one, $180 for a Drake May jersey, after he just went out there and lost and looked kind of like a deer in headlights against the Raiders, if you had said,
nothing special week one at all.
$180, I'd hold off a little bit. Well, if you held off, now you might not be able to buy it because he got really good really fast and is really popular right now. So it happens.
And his wife is the most popular baker on TikTok.
It's everywhere, which I still don't really get that. Like, has anyone actually baked some of her recipes? Are they that
good? She's doing a Bakesmas now. I don't know if you know that. So she's doing the 25 days of Bakesmas. Every day she bakes or makes something different.
Is she Stiz?
Yesterday it was like this holiday bark with chocolate and cranberries and orange and the comments from Pats fans who have just blown her up into an internet superstar, honest to God, are great. And yet this is now another thing that is driving, like, that is nails on a chalkboard, rusty nails in the eardrums of, like, Bills fans, Jets fans, Dolphins fans. I love it. Go. I hope Ann Michael May is the new Martha Stewart.
All right, everybody, cross your fingers because it is 5:07:45. That means it's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Goal!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So we let off the show talking about the Red Sox because they made a trade. Johan Oviedo, and I checked it during the break. We are saying it right. I stumbled upon the Major League Baseball pronunciation packet on the desk behind me during one of the breaks.
That's real?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole packet. So you get anybody, Fitzy, you want me to know, I can look them up by team, tell you how to say their name. But Oviedo, I know how to say his name. My question is, what will I be saying about his role and his performance? The password goes in the deal, five-player deal, but those are the particulars. Those are the high-end names you're interested in. What are we going to be talking about? Are we talking about their number three starter? Are we talking about a back end of the rotation guy? Are we talking about a guy who's going to be used in a high-leverage bullpen role for all we know could be groomed to be Chapman's replacement? Are we going to be happy about this trade when we get to midseason? What are the Red Sox getting from the Pirates?
In Oviedo, they are getting a back end of the rotation guy.
Yeah.
They're not getting a super penner. They're not getting a Chapman replacement. I can't imagine that's what they saw in this guy. Because he doesn't have the control to be a shutdown, really. Like, for a guy that, what is it, Dan? Walks, career-wise, it was walks one out of every nine guys, but last year ballooned up to one out of every seven.
Yeah, 11% and 15%. Brutal. Yeah,
you can't do that. You can't do that as a closer. So unless I see this as a classic example of Breslow and Bailey working in tandem to identify someone they think has the tools they're buying low. They're speculating on the market. They're buying low on a guy they think they can turn into a top of the rotation starter. But in 2026, you are going to see him as your number four, maybe number five starter, so long as his elbow holds up. Because boy, oh boy, the Red Sox absolutely love injury-ridden reclamation projects.
So Dimball, why did it cost you your number three prospect, a top 100 prospect, to get a fingers crossed, his elbow holds up, and he's good in the future kind of guy?
I think there are details about this guy that make a lot of teams go, well, there is something here. 6'6", you can't teach that. 275 pounds? No, that seems a little too much.
6'6", 270.
Is he the left tackle for the Patriots?
He is 6'6". I know that. I can't remember the weight off the top of my head, but he's a beast, and he's got to reach over 7 foot. There's a frame there that would look like, oh, if you can kind of harness all of these guys.
Dan Ball, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
According to Baseball Reference,
it is, isn't
he's
it?
He's 6'6", 275.
Okay, I thought I read that. I was like,
who is he, Jabba Chamberlain? Jeez.
I did think I was looking at the wrong sport when I was remembering that number.
I would like this trade better for the Patriots. I think he's a developmental right tackle.
Ben Brown. Yeah,
I was
going to
say.
Or,
no, honestly, if Anthony Jennings or Harold Landry gets hurt, you can always put in Oviedo.
So that's kind of the point. This guy is just simply built different. There is a lot of good stuff with the slider. It's a guy who can ramp it up to the high 90s. There's a lot of the picture when you don't take the stats into account. I'm Peter Schragering myself into this.
A little bit.
I know. But
the stats are the stats, whatever.
You're trying to buy low, or you're trying to buy a guy at value of what is supposed to be a top of the end starter. This is really hard to defend because I don't understand it in the slightest. You're adding to an issue that you already have, which is you have too many borderline MLB starting pitchers right now. Mm-hmm. You're adding to that and taking away from a guy who I thought was going to feature in a Joe Ryan deal, a Freddie Peralta deal, a Cole Reagans deal, a Ketel Marte deal, the kind of needle-moving deals that Craig Breslow foreshadowed this offseason. But instead, you're sending out a guy who I think still has good value as a top prospect for a guy who's not even insuredly making your rotation this year. I just, there's not a lot of this that I get. I don't really like it at all.
Okay, you referenced it there. Craig Breslow, his words, in various points said, you know, we're set 3 through 10. We feel really good about that. We're looking for a guy who can walk side by side with Crochet at the top of the rotation into a playoff series. This ain't that. So is that affecting the way we look at this move? If he had never said those words, if he had just said, our priorities this offseason are to improve the baseball team, to improve the depth of our pitching staff so that we're better suited to be a good staff late in the year and into the postseason, but hadn't said some of the particulars, would we look at this trade differently?
Yes, we would. And to expand it out a little bit, if the Red Sox had been honest with fans for the last handful of years, I'm dead serious. Like, if since 20, and it is funny in like a haha, this makes me sad kind of way, but if they had been honest since 2022 about what the end goal was of the Boston Red Sox, we wouldn't take this kind of tone when we're talking about right. The team. If they were just honest in saying that we're going through a rebuild, we're restocking the cupboards, and we're prioritizing more efficient spending on the players that we bring in than we did in years past, then as much as we wouldn't like it, we'd still understand it because we felt like they were being honest. I do not come out of any interaction that I hear with Craig Breslow, Sam Kennedy, or above and feel like I was told the truth about anything with the Red Sox. And it drives me up a freaking wall. So, no, I don't think that we're being told the truth about a lot of what's going on.
And Fitzy, does the order of operations here matter? And what I mean by that, if they swing back around, we get to the meetings next week, and all of a sudden we're talking about Pete Alonso. I keep wanting to call him Alfonso, and I don't know why. Pete Alonso.
You're thinking of the legend of Edgardo Alfonso.
Or I'm thinking of Alfonso, what's his name?
Ribeiro?
Yes, Dancing with the Stars and America's Funniest Home Videos and Fresh Prince. Could be that. Whatever. If we're talking Pete Alonso next week and Kyle Schwarber and big bats and offense, and we're suddenly looking at the lineup and we're stacking it and figuring out who's batting fifth and sixth, will we look at this move differently? Will this grow? Will our appetite grow for a trade like this or a trade for Sonny Gray if the bats are suddenly booming?
Of course it will. And if it doesn't, then you're just being mad for the sake of shaking an angry fist Soxward. If they're able to get two mighty bats and add that to the lineup, alleviating you of your fears of more Yoshida outfield trades, Tristan Casas playing a significant role, whatever. If you're able to get two big bats, and then you can say, oh, wow. So they added a couple of big bats and they lost Giolito, but they're going to bring in Connolly early and Sonny Gray and Oviedo. Like, okay, this is good. They're being proactive. They're making moves to keep up in the arms race of the AL East, which, by the way, is it me or does it seem like the AL East is the most active division right now in Major League Baseball?
Oh, absolutely.
In hot stove offseason terms.
But that's also what you're getting back to, is you need to remember that is that's what the AL East is known for, right? Yankees, Red Sox,
Blue Jays.
It's what it's supposed to be. The only one that's more dominant is whatever that realignment expansion AL East was.
Oh, yeah, remember that.
The AL Northeast or whatever the hell it was, where it was like borderline unwinnable.
And then there was the Southeast where it was like Nationals, Orioles, Marlins, yeah. And somebody else, Rays,
and
maybe.
You were Yankees
Mets, Red Sox, Mets, Phillies, yeah.
Yeah, like good luck in that division if you're not going to spend.
The Blue Jays are the new Red Sox. It's unfortunate, but it's always been a two-team race in the American League East. Now it's still a two-team race in the American League East. It's just the Yankees against a new team, and it's the Toronto Blue Jays because they care about winning.
So speaking of the bats and who they're targeting, Steve Phillips, MLB Network, kind of has the rundown of what they want to do and what the options are.
What about Boston? I feel like they, and we've talked about this at length, Steve, they surprised even themselves at points last season. What does 2026 have in store?
So they're looking for offense right now. Primarily, ideally, they'd like right-handed bats. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not in on Kyle Schwarber. They are. But they want two out of five hitters, Pete Alonso, Kyle Schwarber, Alex Bregman, or Kazuma Okamoto at third base, or JT Realmuto behind the plate.
All right, there's your rundown. I feel like the list of five kind of trails off after three, if you're being honest. And that's where it's like, okay, you give us a list of five. If you start with Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber, we're going to be disappointed if you go to the back end of your list there. And Realmuto and Okamoto is the third baseman.
Nailed it.
Japan.
Yeah.
Fitzy, if you could pick two. If they're picking two are your two? Pick two.
It's like an appetizer and an entree. I get to pick two.
I like those. like a good barbecue place, smoke shop barbecue. You go over there and they're like, well, you pick two meats. Oh, you're can I add a third meat? What's the add-on charge? Okay, Fitzy, pick two.
Yeah, I don't care what the upcharge is. It starts with Pete Alonso. I've been in on him since last year when Bradfoe told me he wouldn't be a good fit. I disagreed then. And then now all of a sudden Bradfoe's been telling me Pete Alonso would be a great fit. And I still agree with him there. And then the other one, I'll take Polanco, and then I want to spend to fill in for Bregman because Bregman's going to price himself out of New England.
Hey, Polanco wasn't on the list.
I'm ordering off menu. I'm allowed.
And no substitutions.
And then I'm taking my extra assets and all the extra money and getting Joe Ryan and then signing him to a deal the size of Crochet. And then we've got bats, we've got dongs, and we've got strikeouts.
Except they may not trade Joe Ryan, if you believe, and I don't.
I don't.
I don't believe the crap that comes out of Minnesota. I think there's a lot of BS. BS comes out of Boston, too. Don't
sure.
get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But it's... Wait, what was that knowing acknowledgement for?
Just using my ears and my brain to listen to what Craig Breslow and company say.
Oh, okay. Well, if you believe what's coming out of Minnesota, they're not going to trade Joe Ryan.
That's right. Ken Rosenthal reported that earlier today. Byron Buxton and Pablo,
yes,
what's his name?
Right.
I can't remember.
To
Lopez
me, that's,
also on the list.
We're not getting the offers we want to trade Joe Ryan out
right.
of Minnesota. That's trying to drum up the market. But, yeah, Fitzy went off the script a little bit there. So I'll go to you, Dan Ball. You're a man of principle and you follow instructions.
Yeah.
We were given five names by Steve Phillips. They're targets.
Okay.
Pick two.
Yeah, it's Alonso and Bregman if I have to pick the two. I'm not interested in Real Muto. Okamoto, I don't want to roll the dice on something that you're spending good money for. And I think Schwarber and Alonso kind of cancel each other out. You need somebody who can play somewhere other than first base or DH as part of that. But if I can borrow Fitzy's rules and go off base, Ketel Marte out of Arizona. Seemingly he's on the market. Little steep. He's about $19 million, but he's a switch hitter, consistently a 280, 850 plus OPS kind of guy. Plays second base. So if you added Alonso and Ketel Marte to the right side of your infield with Story and Marcelo Meyer on the other side, then I would get busy with that as well.
508 has a good question. Real Muto, are they looking to trade Nervias as part of a deal for pitching? I feel like we have a lot of tradable assets now on the roster. Not even prospects. I'm not even talking necessarily about like Campbell and other guys.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's literally too many guys on the roster. You look at the outfield, you look at catcher, you look at pitcher. There's too many guys in the mix. Is it possible that some portion of those are going to be packaged together in another deal?
Yeah, it depends on who you're dealing with. Like if you're trading with Kansas City for Cole Reagans, they're not really about a rebuild right now. They want to keep Seth Lugo. They want to keep Michael Wacha. They want pieces that can help them win. So a Duran plus deal for Reagans is something that makes a lot of sense because you're able to trade from that glut of players that you have. You need to condense all of what you have in this offseason. That's my biggest goal. Take some of the good pieces you have, condense it in deals that bring you in great players, and that gives you a chance to compete.
And why did we stop talking about Scooble? Because everybody still says he's available, right? Like, you could trade for Tarik Skubal.
Theoretically.
And they keep trading for guys who were Cy Young candidates, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right? Like, am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Instead of going for the guy that's supposedly available, because if you want people to be excited, there is no better move than Tarik Skubal. If you put those two hosses out there to steal a word from the midday show,
yeah,
like, that's ridiculous. Like, I would start thinking 07 Patriots when they got Moss and Welker with Brady. Like, scorched earth kind of crap where we are back in terms of entitled town, the most unlikable fan on the planet. F you. We got these two guys. They get off the bus. You guys shouldn't even get off the bus because we're going to whoop your ass. That's two wins right there. Be careful because we might get another. We got some depth on. Like, why not that? Why are we acquiring guys who were Cy Young candidates 2, 3, and 4 years ago, Fitzy?
I don't know. I don't understand why that we just keep piling up like adequacy when you can just go for greatness.
Yeah.
Like just well,
Larry Lucchino would
totally
have gone after.
Might become something when Andy,
like that was
the best
mentality.
Trades ever. One of the best trades ever in Red Sox history. No, it's not Heathcliff Slocum for Derek Lowe and Veritek. That's like the greatest. But one of the best trades was when Theo left the building for a while. Lucchino took over. Don't forget, Lucchino, he sent Hanley Ramirez to the Marlins for Josh Beckett and Mike Lowell. You do not win that World Series. You do not prove that 2004 was not a fluke without Lucchino saying, you know what? I keep hearing Hanley Ramirez is something, but you know what? Josh Beckett can beat the Yankees on a big stage, and Mike Lowell is clutch AF, and turns out he was right.
Yeah, we don't have that mentality. We're closer to it, I feel like. Bloom was as far away from that as you could possibly be. Yeah, Chaim Bloom was like...
by design.
Breslow, I think, is a little closer to that. Like, he did go get you Crochet. He did aggressively sign Bregman to a high AAV, interesting contract. Like, he's done some things, but he's not all in. He's not Dave Dombrowski, who's like, wait, Scooble's available? Why wouldn't I just go for Scooble? Why would I F around with Sonny Gray and anybody else?
Well, because no matter who's in charge, Bloom, Breslow, Alex Cora, who I think is coming next. I still believe that, and I'll believe it until it's proven to be untrue. They all pray to a higher power, which is organizational efficiency. Making a move for Tarik Skubal with 1 year on his contract before he becomes a free agent is an inefficient move. You're trading future assets for 1 year of a guy who is dead set on going to the free agent market. Does a championship contender and a team that values winning over all else make that move? Absolutely, they do. But that's not the Red Sox. It's an inefficient move according to their models and the way that they spend money, and that's why they're never in those kind of conversations.
There are few things that get me less excited about a baseball season than organizational efficiency.
But am I wrong?
No, you're right, but it's like, it's the worst like build up to sex ever. It's like, you know, we're not doing that. Like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know where we're going here. This is not pillow talk. This is not getting me excited.
Well, it also kills me. I mean, I grew up, you grew up, Fitzy, you grew up, everybody grew up watching the Red Sox be at the forefront of all these conversations. Yeah. From 2004 on, it was the Red Sox versus the Yankees. And then it kind of became the Red Sox versus the Yankees versus the Dodgers for some of these players. And now it's the Yankees versus the Dodgers versus the Blue Jays for all of these players. And the Red Sox
and the Phillies.
The Red Sox are comfortable with bringing in the Oviedos, the Grays, the project guys, and it just does not make me want to root for my favorite team as much as I do when you're going for A-Rod, when you're going for Skubal. It kills me as a Red Sox
fan.
And
even worse, to put a bow on it, they continue to be the verbal teases.
Yep.
Trade deadline, we're going to get a number two starter, Joe Ryan.
Yep.
Now, oh, we're going to get a number two starter and two big bats. And then your actions don't follow up your words, and you wonder why no one trusts you, and there's pessimism and angst in Red Sox Nation.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Are you ready to put Craig Breslow in the hot seat,
Oh,
Keith?
Yes, I am. Are you ready to put him in the hot seat? That's
no.
Your guy.
Hot seat's too strong.
Do that.
Hot seat's too
strong. Not the
holiday
season. But he's, that Craig?
He's...
Yeah.
I mean, that was a bit of a...
Yeah, what happened?
A bit of a fib in retrospect.
Kind of turns out a little bit of a fib.
Some would call it a big giant lie.
Yeah. Although the offseason's not over, to play your side of the street for a moment, he does have time to make some other moves.
Thank you for pointing that out.
For my guy, Breslow, I appreciate
that. In the
here and in the now, it seems to be going a little counter to what his original plan was.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah. I don't quite get it. And he does have more time to, I guess, deliver on what he said. But what he said is they're not going to go get a bunch of pitching depth. They're going to get a guy to pitch alongside Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Johan Oviedo?
Yeah.
Hoss of the Week nominee?
Hoss of the Week nominee. A lot of people talking about him being Hoss of the Week nominee. He might have to win it. Although it's been a very competitive field.
Oh, it's a strong field this week.
We talked about the late, great Robert Wadlow, the world's original and maybe greatest giant at 8'11".
Past. Oh, yeah, he was a hoss.
Way too soon.
Emphasis on was, but was he was a hoss, yeah.
He was 8'11". We also had, what was the other big number? Oh, Aaron Harang, a.k.a. the Harangutan,
sure.
Who was a random player this week, who had similar height and weight as Oviedo.
I'd imagine he's packed on a few since his playing days, but I don't
point.
Know that for a fact.
Let's get him on the show.
Might be more of a hoss.
So, yeah, those a couple of big nominees, but I would say... You know, the newest member of the Red Sox, you probably got to give him the honor.
6'6", 275, and he's a new Red Sox. I don't know if we're ready to hand it out yet.
No, not yet.
But I think he should be a nominee.
Strong contender.
Red Sox trade for Juan Oviedo in a five-player deal that prominently features the password.
Password's gone.
Just Stinkson.
Yeah.
Garcia.
Stinkson.
Now a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Okay.
Honestly, the deal for me is whatever. I think it's fine. I don't know where the password fits in. I didn't love what I saw when he got up here to the big leagues, but it was admittedly like a teeny tiny, barely even there sample size.
It was quick. Yeah, Mike Trout struggled originally.
I don't know where he fits in on this team. So you're telling me you want to trade him? I honestly don't really care. But could you have put him in a deal for somebody different as opposed to Johan Oviedo, who I didn't pretend to even know until yesterday, although he did pitch against the Red Sox last year.
He did.
I think the deal is whatever. I think it's fine. I'm not here to rip the deal. I am here to rip those comments from Breslow, and he came here saying they were going to go get a starter to pitch alongside Crochet and go, you know, A and B with Garrett Crochet, and they're not overly concerned about their depth. And between Sonny Gray and Johan Oviedo, all they're doing is bringing in pitching depth, which is not what they said they were going to do. So,
yeah,
what does that indicate? What is that telling us about the rest of the offseason? Has Breslow already swung and missed on some higher-end arms? Are some arms that are presently here that we had penciled into the rotation?
Yeah.
Could those potentially be on the move? That's what I want to talk about. It's 617-779-7937. You can get into it here on Jones and Keefe. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Keep your eyes out for a Top 5 Friday there today.
Tough one to assemble.
We're going
to
do our Top 5 albums.
All time.
All time. We did our Jones and Keefe Wrapped yesterday. We went through our current Spotify albums, artists.
Mostly our kids' favorite albums and artists.
Our listening age. Billy's 80. So we did a lot of that yesterday.
Yeah.
We thought today would be a good day to give you our top five albums. We'll do that coming up. So keep your eyes, again, on Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch, chat, subscribe. To WEEI. We do have a Friday 4-pack at 11:30. We got the Week in Review at 12:45. And joining us today, for the first time, we're going to talk to Drew Carter.
Hell yeah.
The television play-by-play man for the Celtics, but also...
This is what I'm really excited about.
He's going to be doing the Monsters, Inc. animated broadcast on Monday Night Football.
I'm all in on this Monsters, Inc. I've watched the Toy Story one from a couple years ago?
Yeah,
they've
Toy
done
Story.
A lot of... They did Simpsons.
Sick brag, bro.
They've done a lot of different ones.
They've done some hockey ones, too. I know, like, the outdoor games, like the Winter Classic that they do, I think they animate.
What's that show I don't like? It's the kid...
The Greens or something like
that? Yeah.
Lucas watches that.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't like that show.
Yeah, it's not my favorite
either. I don't care for it.
What is it called? Big City Greens.
Big City Greens. Yeah, they did one of those broadcasts. Yep. I'm into it. There was one of them. It was one of the London games that, was it on like ESPN Plus? It was like oddly on a channel or an app that I didn't have, but then it was also on Disney Plus. So I'm like screaming at a animated Bijan Robinson to score a touchdown for fantasy.
Are you thinking of your Nickelodeon Slime Time game?
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the, it was animated. It was like Toy Story style.
Got it.
But it was the only version of the game I could watch. I don't know. I like it. So we'll ask Drew Carter about that, plus the Celtics, obviously.
So we'll talk to Drew Carter at 11 o'clock here on the show today. But yeah, I mean, if you want to start with the trade, be my guest. I mean, I think, as I said, the trade is fine. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's another arm on the team. I guess I'd rather trade a prospect for a guy who can help right now, especially a prospect that doesn't fit. So I guess I'd give it a thumbs up. I don't like what the deal, what I think at least it represents. They're probably out on certainly Tarik Skubal and probably Joe Ryan and Cole Reagans and other names we've been talking about.
So when I first saw this trade, I could look at it two different ways. There's a good way of looking at it and then also sort of like a bad news way of looking at it. So first, the bad news way of looking at it is I don't think, and I'm not like dying that the password's gone. However, the Red Sox farm system is viewed as one of the better farm systems in baseball. If you go to Sox prospects, they still have Peyton Tolley and Connolly Early on their list, as they should, right? Those guys haven't played a lot in the majors. But let's say you take those two guys out, right?
Where's Josh Stinkson? Or where was he?
He was sixth, so he'd move up to fourth if those two guys are on the big league club. So he, let's just say, in essence, is a top five prospect on the Red Sox. So I thought he would have been included in a different deal. I thought he would have been a guy that helps you get Skubal or Joe Ryan or somebody like that, somebody a step above Oviedo. So even though I'm not like dying about Garcia, we even brought up the other day, you're already trying to trade Duran or Abreu. So what are you holding on to this guy for? So I'm fine trading him. I just thought it would have been for somebody better.
Could you have done better than this guy? Yeah. I think that's a fair criticism of the trade.
And now
as well,
you don't have him, and it's one less guy. It's another prospect gone. So, you know, there's that fine line of feel free to trade him, but, you know, don't trade him all away either. Here's how I'll spin it as a positive.
Oh, you're going to
spin. Here's a good spinner, a sweeper.
You're going to go Brez Pro.
I mean, well, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm saying how this could possibly be a good
idea. I feel like you're being more Brez Pro than me right now.
What if
Craig
Breslow and the Red Sox know that they're going to try to get Skubal or Ryan, and in order to do that, you're going to have to give up a Bayo, a Early, or a Tolley. You're going to have to give up maybe two of those three really good pitchers, and you're going to get one in, but then you don't want to be just barren for 4 and 5, and that's where Oviedo comes in. So we have Oviedo and Gray. So, hey, look over here. We're adding these guys, knowing we're going to trade away Tolley and Early because they have such value. They have way more value than Garcia has or honestly, probably either of the outfielders that they're willing to trade. So that would be my one thought. It's like, all right, let's cover ourselves a little bit because we're going to need the depth because we're going to trade away some of that.
I think it's totally fair, except
it hasn't happened.
Well, it hasn't happened, and does Breslow really deserve the benefit of the doubt to, like, big brain something like that?
No.
I'm as Brez Pro as they come, although Keith is making a late charge here.
Yeah, look at this.
But I'm not going to give him credit for, like, big braining and masterminding.
No.
A move over here, a move over there, all to make the big move that nobody saw coming. I mean, Crochet was a good trade.
It was a great trade.
I really like that trade. It wasn't exactly, hey, let me tinker over here and tinker over there and get all those pieces of big brain, a huge trade. It was just giving a package of prospects for a pitcher who was clearly available.
Right.
So, I mean, if he does it, great. And I'll look back and I'll go, I get it. Yeah. I see it. I should have trusted my guy Breslow. In the meantime, I'm not ready to give him that much credit for a number five. I like this Carrabas yesterday. I usually go to him for reaction. I think it's a good pulse of the fan base.
All right, good barometer.
Red Sox are stockpiling starting pitching depth. Never a bad thing, but obviously not a needle mover. Oviedo is not a needle mover.
No.
Our guy Bradfoe says Oviedo is a guy who will look absolutely dominant in one start. That's good.
And big.
Good. Well, he's going to look big in every start.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Good extension, Keith, if you care about his
City
extension. Oh, he's going to look good in those.
Talk a little bit more about his extension.
Good extension.
Okay.
Good fastball.
Yeah.
So he'll look dominant in one start, Bradfoe says, then absolutely not in the next. At least he has the potential to be a top of the rotation guy. He missed 2024 with Tommy John. He came back and made 9 starts last year after a lat injury. He was originally a St. Louis Cardinal. He was traded for, now I'm blanking on who it was. It was a lefty. You're going to recognize the name when you see it. So he started as a Cardinal. He was dealt to the Pirates. He pitched against the Sox last year.
Oviedo?
Yes.
Oh, Jose Quintana.
Thank you.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Sean McAdam is sort of playing your side of the street here, Keith.
All right.
He wrote yesterday, at the very least, the Red Sox have a surplus of starters that puts them in an enviable position at the winter meetings as they get underway in Orlando this weekend. It would seem Crochet, I would hope Garrett Crochet is untouchable. It would seem,
it
he
would
says,
seem, well, Crochet, you never know.
Gray, Oviedo, and Brian Bello are all untouchable.
What?
But nearly any of the team's other controllable young arms could be put or could put the Sox in a position other teams can only dream of.
Why so is Bayo untouchable?
He says it seems.
Okay.
Crochet, Gray, Oviedo, and Bayo. He does list Bayo fourth out of those four.
Well, they just signed the other two guys. So, I mean, I guess that would be weird. Or they traded for Gray. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They didn't sign either of them. They traded for both of them. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, like, I assume they're going to keep those guys. Obviously, Crochet. I wouldn't put Crochet and Bayo in the same conversation.
Me either.
Because let's say you're trying to get a really major deal done, and the team that you're making the deal with is like not as interested in Connelly Early or Peyton Tolley. You wouldn't trade Brian Bayo? I would. There was a lot of good last year. Bayo was better than I thought he was going to be.
Fell apart
in the playoffs. You could say, well, it's one start. Pretty big start, but it was one start. I don't know if I have full trust in him. And I'm not trading him for like another Sonny Gray or another Oviedo, but if it's Scoobal or Joe Ryan or even Cole Reagans, then yeah, I would do it.
I mean, look, if Bayo's in that kind of deal, then I'll look back and I'll say, I get it. Yeah. They added Sonny Gray and they added Oviedo because they wanted some.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably a good combination of at the end of your rotation, if they're 3-4, if they're 4-5, that's a good combination of Gray, you kind of know what you're going to get, and Oviedo's an upside guy, so let's see. If you're moving Bayo for one of those guys, meaning Reagans or Ryan or on the really high-end Tarik Skubal, then I get it. But I don't know. McAdam's telling you that Bayo's untouchable, or at least it seems that he's untouchable.
He should be touchable.
Somebody,
he should be pretty touchable.
Somebody's moving, Keith, right?
Yeah, I would think.
It might be Early, who's your guy. It might be Tolley, who's my guy. Mm-hmm. It might be Bayo, who's probably nobody's guy. So somebody like that is going to move. I do agree with that. Is it going to be for the high-end pitching that Breslow promised? I'm dubious, and that's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dubious. Meanwhile, Jeff Passan out with some more Red Sox notes. He says the Red Sox will spend on a big bat. Now I wonder what the line for that is.
What's the number for a big bat? How many Tony Hawk skateboards is a big bat?
Is Bregman a
seven?
Quote unquote big bat.
Yeah, I think Bregman would qualify.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Is Bichette?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, definitely Alonso and Schwarber.
No, no doubt. But I think those other guys would qualify.
Passan says today they will spend on a big bat, and they're discussing their outfield surplus with multiple teams. Given what Passan wrote earlier this week, we're probably talking about Duran or Abreu. So, look, if Duran or Abreu are on the move and you add Bayo or you add Early or you add some other prospects to that deal, maybe there's still a high-end pitcher to go get. And if you're going to spend on a bat or two, then great. Then you've completed the offseason we all hope for. So far, you've gotten some pitching depth that you said you weren't going to get, and that's all you've done. Like, I'm a little thrown off by that, to be honest.
No, his words are making it a little bit confusing, because overall, that's not the worst strategy in the world. Because you went into last year, if you told me, you're like, who's going to have a better year, Walker Buehler or Lucas Giolito? I probably thought, based on recent history, it might be Walker Buehler. And it wasn't even close.
Last year, going into the year, 1,000% thought it was going to be Walker Buehler.
And Buehler was terrible, and Giolito was really good, and then he got hurt at the end, but like he was really good. So there's something to be said for having a pile of these arms and kind of seeing which guy emerges. You know, they went in thinking, hey, maybe Tanner Houck or Cutter Crawford you'll get something out of. They were good 2 years ago. Crawford was on the shelf all year. Tanner Houck started, then was done. You know, so like you kind of need a bunch of arms, so I get it. But when you're out there telling everybody that we want somebody to go along with Garrett Crochet, and then the first two moves you make are guys that are nowhere near Garrett Crochet, it's a little puzzling.
It is. That's how I would describe the start. I mean, the Red Sox have been active. I mean, you can't say they're not active, and they've made some moves going into the winter meetings. I'd agree with McAdam on this, where they put themselves in a position to be movers and shakers and to make some moves.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Steve Phillips, MLB Network. Also, you may have noticed Jackson's behind the glass today. We don't have our hip-hop or whatever rejoins that Stiz, R&B, more of a heavy metal tone to the rejoins. So, Jackson.
Yeah, we're just ready to rock today, guys.
Yeah. He promised me some Christmas heavy metal rejoins.
Yeah.
So I look forward to that later in the show.
A little Trans-Siberian Orchestra, maybe.
You got you got my mind read there, Fitzy.
Attaboy.
Minds think alike.
And so do we.
So this is the transition. First segment, we're negative about the trade, Oviedo. We don't know where he fits. It comes on the heels of Sonny Gray. You're just collecting mediocre pitchers. Where blah, 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 blah.
I hate that this has to be the tone, by the way. I really do.
We don't set the tone. They do.
No, I don't want to live up to your sweatshirt and be a Grinch, but they are, yeah, they're setting it by making mediocre, lukewarm moves.
Okay, so they could change the entire view, the entire tone. Their heart could grow four sizes in one day if you bring in two of these five bats. Now, I have a preferred two, and I want to get into that.
Okay.
Because there's some lesser bats in here that I don't think are quite as sexy. First of all, can we all just agree we have no idea what Okamoto is? Because we've learned over the years that sometimes guys come from across the pond and they're the greatest baseball player we've ever seen and they reconfigure the way the sport is played. And sometimes they come across the pond and you're like, that's it.
Yeah, correct. And for some reason, the Red Sox are never able to get the ones that change the game of baseball.
Sometimes you get a Yamamoto, sometimes you get an Ohtani, and sometimes you get a Dice K, and sometimes you get your guy who just still doesn't even really do anything on the Sox.
And I would say that if you get a Dice K, he contributes. He's not that he can't play Major League Baseball.
Yeah. 2 good years. He had one exceptional year, one or two good years. But not a needle mover.
No, 5 innings, 100 pitches, walk the tightrope every single time, but make 30
boring
starts.
Boring baseball.
Oh,
it was
my God,
more about selling T-shirts because of the legend of the gyro ball, which actually does not exist.
He also helped sell beers because people are like, oh, I'm going to be here for 4 hours. I might as well drink because this is one boring outing by our starting pitcher. But you know what wouldn't be boring?
What?
Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso, who I believe the number off the top of my head is 34 home runs on average.
since he came into Major League Baseball. Or Kyle Schwarber, you might be familiar with him. He had a cup of coffee cameo with the Red Sox. He hit a 50 last year. And no, I don't care that he hits left-handed. I'm fine with that. I'm quite okay with that. You can be imbalanced if you hit the ball out of the ballpark. Alex Bregman doesn't excite me quite as much because, for one simple reason, he was on your team last year. You're not upgrading. That's just, you know, the status is quo, as Bill Belichick would say. And then Real Muto, okay, that doesn't really move the needle for me either.
Yeah, that's 5 out of 5 for me. Yeah. I think of all that, you've added 4 catchers to the organization in like a month and a half, and you re-signed Connor Wong. So technically you added 5. So I'm good with Narvaez. Of all the things I want to upgrade, a catcher that's past his prime is not something that fits a list for me.
Yeah, 5 aces, 5 catchers. It's a bold right. strategy. We'll see how it works out for him.
Right. One of them's got to work.
Yeah. I mean, Narvaez worked out last year. So
that's true.
Throw a guy out there, you never know. So, Fitzy, I agree with that idea that this list kind of falls off. And if they get the last two, like just as they listed it, it goes Alonso, Schwarber, Bregman, Okamoto, Real Muto. If they get those last two, it doesn't really excite me because one of them I know nothing about, Okamoto. Like, I'll just wait and see, and then 2 months into the season, I'll be like, oh, they actually nailed it this time with an import.
It's another maybe.
I don't like maybes.
Yeah.
You know what's not a maybe? Pete Alonso.
You know how much he solves?
Everything. He maybe hits 50 home runs at Fenway Park. That's the maybe part of Pete Alonso.
Yeah, he does. No, Pete Alonso, a power right-handed bat, still in the prime of his career. Coming to a place like Fenway, should he stay healthy or not have an unfortunate midseason quad injury, there's no reason in the world why the guy shouldn't be hitting 45 bombs. And think about this. Even if you just start with Pete Alonso, the trickle-down and trickle-up effect of having a power right-handed bat like that in the middle of the lineup, everybody benefits. So not only do you get him hitting 40-plus bombs, but now other people are going to have to see better pitches because you don't want to have to face Alonso with 2 guys on and 1 out, Red Sox down a run.
And Kyle Schwarber, who we've seen can play here, and then we've seen can play in Philly, certainly.
Sure.
And we've heard the manager, who clearly was influential a year ago in bringing in Bregman. The manager is a big fan of Kyle Schwarber. I believe he borderline tampered this year. I don't know the rules of tampering in baseball. If that were football, I feel like there would have been like a late round pick that would have been docked for some of the love that he professed for Kyle Schwarber. So those two, to me, it's really just Alonso and Schwarber that can reinvigorate the optimism and the momentum of the offseason based on what they've done so far. It's one of those two. So don't give me 2 of 5. I don't like you watered this down. Give me 1 of 2. I have 2 very specific. All I want for Christmas is my 2 big bats. Don't do the Real Muto in the back end. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So with the implication that you also have to re-sign Alex Bregman to get the water back to level, right?
I don't know about that.
I've heard
a lot of that floating around. I don't know that I feel that way.
Why?
I don't know that I agree with that.
Okay.
Because Marcelo Meyer can play third base. We saw he plays, I think, an elite third base from the small sample size.
Yeah, for the 50 games he plays, yeah.
Okay, the negativity from Dan.
But Bregman only played 114 or 110 last year, so it wasn't exactly.
You want old and injury prone or young and injury prone?
I want more talented and more proven.
At this point, who's a better all-around player and who is ascending and who is descending and who will cost a ridiculous amount of money and who will cost nothing?
That's 17 different questions.
There's a lot of questions
in
there.
Is that market? I mean, honestly, is the market for Bregman really going to form the way that Boris thinks it is?
I would guess no. Not the way Boris thinks it is, but it's going to cost you more than Marcelo Meyer. And if you keep Marcelo Meyer at third base, right?
Okay, sure.
That opens up some funds. That opens up some opportunity to be more. Would you take Marcelo Meyer if it means Schwarber and Alonso? And
yeah.
No Bregman?
Yes, but where's everybody playing?
It's a fair question I've pondered.
I know.
So we traded. It was weird. The Blue Jays were all over my guy, Yoshida.
Okay, yeah. So if you want to base it on something that's not going to happen, then yeah, sign both of them and your lineup is immediately stacked. Going from Roman Anthony to Kyle Schwarber to Pete Alonso, the three of us could hit 4, 5, and 6, and I'm fine with that.
But what about Tristan Casas? Damn, Dan, you forgot about me.
I didn't forget. I just don't care. Until he proves he's worthy of consideration,
we're going to have to either, he's not just going to languish in Worcester all season long. Like, he's either going to be part of the Major League roster or he's going to be traded.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he's physically going to be ready. They can tell me all they want. Oh, he stayed in Florida all winter and he's training and he's doing, like, okay.
Right.
He also suffered a massive injury, a very significant injury. So I'll wait till my eyeballs tell me he can step to the plate and swing before I even decide if he's baseball skill-wise part of the conversation.
And once he's there, what does it look like?
Yeah.
Is it 40 and 120?
It isn't. I can guarantee it isn't. I can guarantee that. So, now, is it 20 and 280?
Again, you got to see it. I got to see anything remotely close to that.
And how many errors is he going to make at first base? How many balls is he going to boot? And is that going to balance out?
So, Fitzy, here's what I've landed on. You need to acquire, in some varying form, two infielders. You need, I think you need a first baseman. And if you want to try to talk yourself into Schwarber being a first baseman, fine. But I think it's Alonso.
Yep.
You can pencil in Marcelo Meyer at either second or third. And I think you need to find a complimentary bat to either play second or third. Is it Bregman? Is it Jorge Polanco, whose name I saw last week? I don't know, but I think you're two.
Bo Bichette.
I think you're two. That'd be pretty sick. But I think you're two infield bats away. That's kind of what I've landed on.
Yeah, I see. I like if I'd love to re-sign Bregman, but I still feel like Boris is going to try to force a market where it may not even exist. So if you tell me that you can get Polanco and you can get Pete Alonso, I'm fine with that because Polanco hit, 26 home runs last year? That's still a lot more. I believe it's 26. That's more home runs than Bregman. Alonso gives you a massive upgrade as well. You can trade Tristan Casas for all the breakfast tacos you want. I'm fine. All set. That's still a better lineup right there. Now, you also have to make sure that Willy Abreu and Jaron Duran and Roman Anthony, and however you decide to sort this outfield situation out, those guys have to stay healthy. And are we even sure one of them gets traded? Or like do they just rotate one of those outfielders in as a DH every now and again if you don't acquire enough bats? That option is technically still on the table for them.
I don't love that option. I still think there are going to be outfielders that are offloaded, so to speak. I don't believe you just mentioned another name, Christian Campbell. Where does he fit in this puzzle? That was a question. That was like, I don't know where he fits into this puzzle.
I don't think they do either.
And I don't know what his value is right now. That's the other thing.
It's not much.
I can't imagine. So the password, I know he had a cup of coffee, but he's still a legit prospect. Like, yeah, he's still a minor league ascending projection type player. Mm-hmm. Christian Campbell had an extended period in the big leagues where it's like, oh, should I be worried about what that period looked like? And I'm not saying that's who he is. He's forever going to be the guy that got sent back down. But some other teams probably look at that and worry that he's not worth that contract. He's not what the high-end, very initial part of the season was. So I don't know what his value is. And if you're only getting this for the password, what are you getting for Christian Campbell?
Well, in the biggest question that I think is a concern when you're having these trade talks, what position does Christian Campbell play?
Outfield.
Does he?
You beat me to does he by a quarter second. Like sure about that?
No, but okay.
He's not a first baseman and he's not a second baseman.
Let me rephrase it slightly. What position has Christian Campbell proven he can play at the major league level?
None.
Okay,
none.
There you go, and there's your issue.
But I would like the convincing is he's an outfielder.
But like, did he look like he could play outfield?
I don't know that he looks like he can play anything. I don't even like his swing and his at-bats. I know people, remember when they were comparing him, an interesting little segue here because Jaylen Brown didn't play last night.
Right.
He was being compared to JB because there's a certain physical awkwardness to his, he's super athletic, but kind of awkward in a super athletic way.
Yeah.
But JB makes it work. JB, we're talking about MVP and all NBA, and we know he can score and play at the highest level and do all. I don't know that the awkward guy that did it in the minors can continue to look awkward and do it at the big league level. So, no, I have no confidence that Christian Campbell can play almost anywhere. But I wouldn't tell that to the other teams. I would definitely spin that a little bit differently. He'd be more in the, yeah, we have a Casas that's going to hit 40 and 120. We got this Christian Campbell. Boy, is he versatile. I mean, he's an outfielder. Don't get me wrong. He's proven he can play outfield, but he also has some versatility in modern Major League Baseball. The 207 says it should be Bregman and Alonso. Anything less is a bust. That's a bold statement.
If you're planning on legitimately competing for a World Series, which I am not convinced the Red Sox ownership is set on any longer, If you are planning on doing that, then yeah, those are that's the caliber of the two additions you have in order to be a serious contender. Anything less is you're accepting, I'm a wild card team who charges too much for tickets and beer again.
All right, we're going to continue to touch on this a little bit throughout the rest of the show. 617-779-7937 if you want to share your opinions on what Craig Breslow is doing this offseason, collecting guys who are not number two starters when he said he was only going to collect guys who are number two starters. Interesting approach, both verbally and then with his actions.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.